Thank you for listening to The Wonder of You with Lisa Gallas. This is part two of a Ouija board, meditations, profound healing, and visions. I know, a long title, but bear with me. It says it all, I think. But as I move on to part two, I want to let you know when I started to receive the visions of this healing slash sharing place. It was shortly after the 9/11 event. I started to get this download of information of what we could do to come together to help each other. The ones that have developed within themselves the ability to share some healing energy could come together and help those in need. And I started a project called Healing the Nations. And that was my first attempt of many over the next, I gotta figure what, 8, 7 years. And it went okay in the beginning. I had 135 people aligned with the vision from around the world. Some people donated money because, unfortunately, to get anything done, it takes a little bit of money. But the one thing that I did not have that I needed desperately was people to help me in the physical world, help me align all of this. I mean, I am only just one person. And, you know, I must have dumped that Superwoman cape way back in the beginning because I cannot do it all by myself. So I spent the next 7 years traveling, you know, moving. Of course, like I said in my previous podcast, I had no clue why I was doing it. I just know, looking back over my shoulder, what the grander plan was and the potentials and the soul contracts that could have embarked on a whole new direction. But I'll tell you, I am so grateful, so incredibly grateful that it has come down to where I'm at now with the people I am with now. One very special person that crossed my path that has allowed this vision to become reality is my best friend. She wasn't at the time, but she is now, and it's my business partner, Peggy. We co-founded the Wonder of You Life Enhancement Center, and we publish the Wonder of You magazine now. Now, she was not already in Virginia where I was. She was in a Boston suburb. She started out as one of my students online who joined the spiritual development course and thrived from her own efforts to learn and heal. After 2 years of internet communication and our role that moved from teacher and student to equals and emerging best friends, she realized where she lived no longer fit her growing spirit. She came to a massive crossroads in her life. Peggy was now being prompted from her spiritual team to move to Virginia. Now keep in mind, she was born and raised in the Boston area. She has never lived outside of that area. Most of her family still live in that area, and she's very, very close to her family. But she had to reach deep inside of herself to come up with an answer. What is going to be best for her soul journey? Not for what the ego wants of her, but what is going to be best for her spiritual development through life. And she simply came to a choice. Well, I can't say it was simple. It was very difficult. And it took her a lot of meditating to come to the answer. But she finally put out this simple statement out to the universe. And I'm going to quote her. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I trust you enough to take me there. And with that, she moved to Virginia in February 2008 without a plan in sight. And while she was in the Boston area, she quit her job, sold her house, and started to get ready to set up home in Virginia, primarily to be closer to me, simply because I live and breathe this path. And embark on her journey 24/7. And she knew she had gone as far as she could possibly take herself in her then present situation. Now, I had tried to launch this magazine about 2 years prior, then called Conscious Living. But let me tell you, publishing is not cheap. Peggy agreed to financially back the magazine with the money she had made from the sale of her house. In May 2008, the Wonder of You magazine was born. I was sure advertisers would rally around to support this uplifting, illuminating publication. Little did I realize that there are actually people out there who are offended to see me put Jesus and Buddha in the same sentence. Forget all this other self-empowering, let's not follow but lead information that is contained in the magazine. Many advertisers became afraid of aligning themselves with this New Age magazine. And I soon realized that advertisers are hard to come by. Now you couple that with the present state of the economy that is changing. We'll just leave it at that. So right now, when we publish 5,000 copies of The Wonder of You, Peggy backs it by writing a check for $3,300 so all could share in the wisdom and hope that is this magazine. However, after the first issue of the magazine was put on the streets, Spirit had a bigger vision of how we could be in service in our community. The information started to come in to build a life enhancement center. Huh? Teach people how they work and how to facilitate healing on a complete level of understanding and being in person. And let me tell you, the hesitation was there. Remember, Peggy has no job. All I was doing was my hands of light massages, and I was only doing like maybe 5 or 6 a week. And that was enough to keep me happy. No savings, but happy. And, you know, she just had the sale of the money from the sale of her home in Massachusetts. And she said, after she contemplated it, I showed her what has come to me in my meditations for years. I just really thought I was going to be working out of this place instead of, you know, being founding a healing center in this place. I took her to show her this place that is now the home of the Wonder of You Life Enhancement Center. And again, after processing, she said she would put the money in that was needed to build and open this center. In July 2008, we signed the lease that would become the Wonder of You Life Enhancement Center. In September of 2008, we opened the doors for business. We had a financial game plan set to remain open, and then the news announced that the country was in a recession. Oh my. Not good news for a business, especially a brand new business. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was on a downward spiral. The $60 we set for an hour massage was no longer happening. People were just kind of being conservative, understandably so. We were lucky to be doing 5 to 6 massages a week. Forget a day. Peggy had to cash in her 401k to keep the center alive. Now imagine that. She's taken her savings for her retirement, even though it was crashing by the moment, just so the center could stay open, so we can continue to be in service to others. We dropped our prices for a massage, and pretty much we dropped all of our prices to $40 an hour for a massage, and business picked up. People started to see what we were doing and how. Our staff grew, our clientele and support for the center grew, but I guess what we never really took a hard look at is, are we breaking even? Not. But anyway, that's going to come in a minute. Spirit had asked me through a meditation in this past December, December 2008, to incorporate the business and file for a nonprofit status. Now, up to this point, Peggy and I had a joint partnership. So we started the adventure of recruiting a board of directors and putting into place, you know, the articles of incorporation and what we needed to do to file for nonprofit status. And the board of directors that align themselves with the vision are people that have been coming to the center that have either taken my course or was for the most part on their spiritual journey, even if they didn't have a clue that they were. They all were. They all are. The majority of our board of directors have lived the very change that is propagated by the teachings of my very humble and very nonconformist spiritual development course, which I have since renamed to Remembering Who You Are and How You Work. Yes, a longer name, but really, more clearly defined, since you are already a very well-developed spiritual being. You just need a way to remember what that even means to you. We name the corporation the Foundation for Conscious Living, Inc. And we are doing business as the Wonder of You. And we are currently, as of this taping, which is March 25th, 2009, we're still waiting on our federal approval for the 501c3. We were excited to see businesses, to see our business accelerate, until we realized at the rates we set for our service, we couldn't hit that break-even mark. Every week we were taking a financial loss, even though it appeared business was steady, or at the very least, busy. We will not ever overwork our wonderful massage therapist to squeeze in an extra $40. We require them to have at least a 30-minute break in between clients so they can rejuvenate themselves. Their health and well-being is essential too. So what does one do in such a situation? Ask Spirit what to do next. Gotta love that Spirit. Here we are in March of 2009, pretty much out of money, and Spirit comes in with an even broader vision. Spirit knows that money is simply money. It comes and goes and goes and comes, constantly recycling itself wherever needs are stated and hearts are open to receive it. And keep in mind, money does not always come in the form of dollar bills, but sometimes, actually oftentimes, it comes in the form of ideas, inspirations, other people, and grander visions of what could be. This particular broader vision, came via my son breaking his leg. Yes, so many incredible blessings and insights come from what appears to be painful events. In fact, that is where most inspirations come from. So now, celebrate the present state of the economy. The blessings through it all is already enormous. My son, being uninsured and unable to work, he did work for the center because his money-making profession, besides wrestling, was a residential and commercial painter. It sort of dried up as the economy appeared to dry up. So now he had to come up with what seemed to be like an enormous amount of money in order to get the plate and screws he needed to hold his tibia, his calf bone, in place for complete healing. Granted, for some people, the dollar amount of $2,500 doesn't seem enormous, but when you have a negative balance in the bank and a mom, me, trying to figure out where to raise prices so her business can survive, even $25 seems like an enormous amount to raise in order to get healed. Now, let me back up just a moment. In one of our board meetings for the center, we talked about establishing a program called Random Acts of Charitable Kindness, or what we would lovingly call the RAC program, where we would solicit donations from people and put it in a holding account to help people in need. Of course, we were busy waiting to become a 501c3 nonprofit organization to bring that aspect of the center into life. Even though Spirit said to me, there is nothing that can be manifested in the energy of waiting. It simply begets more waiting. My son had to be the very force that got the energy of this program moving. He broke his leg again. We love him so much that we wanted to do something, and the Random Acts of Charitable Kindness program was born. And let's call this a forced birth. Of course, we have not gotten that name as of this podcast legally into our portfolio of businesses housed under the Foundation of Conscious Living. We are actually filing all the paperwork. We've been doing it this week. Goodness knows we've got to change our entire structure from a partnership to an incorporation and all the licenses and stuff. So that name may change depending on availability. Nonetheless, the energy of it was birth. I put up a page on the website on our wonderofyou.org with the donations link and a jar, a donations jar in the center, and asked people to help my son, Chris, raise the $2,500 of upfront money he needed to start his leg mending properly. In under a week and a half, people from all around this wonderful country put aside the fact that we are supposedly in a recession and that they have no tax deduction as of this date at the end of the year for their charitable kindness. Instead, they opened their hearts and their wallets and made sure Chris had his surgery. Sorry, my heart is just so full with the kindness that had come pouring in. Moreover, he did have his surgery. Keep this thought in mind. A recession can only happen when people are separated from each other. Where unity of heart is, a recession cannot exist, no matter what it appears like on the outside. Was the lesson done in knowing at the core of my being that the people in this United States of America care more about each other than the fear propaganda that is present? Oh, not by a long shot. The fear foundation of our traditional healing facilities. It's now the day of my son's surgery, March 12, 2009, and I forgot the business checkbook at the center. I needed to pay the $860 up front for him to be able to use the operating room, which was okay because we had collected all the upfront money needed through the center. His life partner, Steffi, got him to the hospital and went through all of the check-in arrangements with him, and they immediately took him back to pre-op. Can I tell you how impressed I am with the quickness of the process of this hospital? Unfortunately for me, hospitals have new rules. Only one person is allowed to hold a family member's hand prior to surgery at a time. And you cannot switch this person out. Whoever is there for the duration. It doesn't matter that his surgery is still 2 hours away. Rules are rules. Of course, the mom in me surfaced, and then the anger surfaced. When I asked why I could not go back and be with my son, they said someone was already there and we have to respect his privacy. Huh? Privacy? What could possibly be so private that I cannot be there with him? At the very least, why is it that Steffi couldn't come out for a moment while I go in and give him a hug? I didn't wait around for answers. I was too angry, and I figured this is not a great energy to hold while in a hospital. I went to my car dazed and confused. For 26 years, that's how old my son is, I have had children, especially my son, who is my oldest, in and out of hospitals, waiting rooms, ERs, and never, ever have I been told that a patient can only choose one person to be at their side. When I got my gallbladder out, I was 30. My husband and my children were all there to hold my hand and comfort my heart before surgery. I would have had it no other way. Don't tell me I have to choose one. Everyone was important to me. Not in today's age. I sat in my car dumbfounded, texting Steffi and my son, and they were apologizing as if this was their fault for me not being able to be there. Steffi and my son were trying to talk to the nurses back in pre-op to allow me to be present. I knew deep inside it was a battle that was not going to be won. What made me feel worse about it all was Steffi felt guilty because of her feeling that I should have been there instead of her. And I so wholeheartedly disagree. Chris loves her so much, and he loves me so much. No patient should ever, ever have to experience any of these feelings and choices prior to surgery or in the midst of healing. And nobody should ever feel bad or feel guilty because they're there and someone is not. The less than pleasant feelings that were now running rampant through the three of us was doing no higher good for anyone involved. I gave them both a hug through the text messaging device on the telephone and told them I will be back when he gets out of surgery. And again, they apologized. I sat in my car and I asked the universe about this incredibly deep feeling of anger that was inside of me. And to tell you, I was angry. I was. A combination of just absolutely shocked at these rules and angry because I'm the mom. Why can't the mom and the spouse or whatever, or the children, be there? So I asked for help for me to settle down a little bit in these feelings, because I was actually feeling unjustified to have them to begin with. It's been a long time since these raw feelings of anger actually surfaced. And God knows, I so love the universe. I instantly heard Spirit tell me that anger is not bad. And of course I know that, but when you're feeling it and you're feeling it as intensely, it's not feeling very good. Anger is simply your body's way of telling you that something is not right. Amen. Something was truly not right. I did the only thing I could think of doing. I went home and I wrote an article about my experience, because I had to do something with that anger. I was not about to rant and rave. That is just old behavior that serves no higher good. So what do? I write. Why not? That's what I do. And I'm going to share with you my article with you that I wrote in those moments while I was waiting for my son to get through surgery, minus the name of the hospital he was attending. It has so little to do with the hospital, I came to find out. excuse me. I have come to find out that disconnecting family from patients is an ongoing policy raised by fear-implemented policies such as the HIPAA, H-I-P-P-A-A, HIPAA Privacy Act and the Homeland Security gig, whatever that is doing at the hospital. I didn't look up Homeland Security. It's boggling my poor little brains. As I do with any article, when I'm in the midst of knowing I'm going to write something, probably for the magazine or for online, I take in a deep breath and I ask Spirit to help write it with me. And this is what unfolded. At a loss for understanding. Okay, so here I sit scratching my head, wondering how the healing profession became so disconnected from the word family and healing. My son is currently in pre-op, waiting to undergo leg surgery from a broken leg. The hospital said only one person can be with him at a time, and we do not allow you to switch out. I don't even get to give him a hug before surgery. I don't get to go back and look into his beautiful blue eyes and say, I love you and we'll see you when you wake up. I cannot, according to a hospital in Newport News, Virginia. None of us knew this going in, or I wouldn't have stopped off to get the checkbook on the way to the hospital. But then again, they wouldn't have allowed him to have the surgery if I didn't give them the $860 down. What is boggling to me is that the name of the hospital is named after our beloved Blessed Mother, the mother of Jesus. Jesus, who knew that family presence and abundant love could facilitate healing quicker and more efficiently than any other presence on earth. Are our hospitals providing healing and comfort to its patients, or have they just become a processing plant? Only one person is allowed to hold his hand at any given time. No switching of the hands is allowed. No mom and dad, no sister and brother, no spouse and child. The patient can only choose one. And I am at such a loss for words that any sort of hospital has taken family out of the scene of healing. Perhaps the love of family just before and just after surgery really isn't in their thoughts. They are more worried about privacy, which is what they claimed the reason was that I could not be with my son. I am so sorry. This is unacceptable behavior for any healing facility. My prayer in this moment, as I sit at my computer and my beloved son is undergoing surgery without his mother's presence, the first time he has not had his mom at his side when he was ill in 26 years. No, he's not a mama's boy, just incredibly loved. Is that the health industry will one day realize that you can never have too much love and support in your moments of healing, even if that love and support impedes on your sense of efficiency and privacy. Love and support are powerful healing forces, and our hospital should never, ever sacrifice these gifts to any of their patients. At least, that is my humble opinion. May we all come together to change the policies of our healing professions from separation back into unity, family, and healing. There concludes my article. So there I sat with completed article, knowing I was stirring something up on the bigger agenda of spirit. I've been walking this path ceaselessly for 9 years. I know how spirit works. The feeling came to me to give the woman who informed me of the rules of the hospital a copy of what I had just written. So I did. I do want to say that this lady was kind, loving, and simply doing her job. It wasn't too long afterwards that the chaplain and another lady, whose title I cannot remember, came to have a talk with me about my article. They were both very kind, very compassionate in speaking with me. As they started to explain why the hospital had such a policy, I started to see the bigger picture and to understand the foundation of fear in which our hospitals must now operate. I remember vividly from being a personal care provider at an assisted living facility I worked at in Vermont when the new HIPPA, HIPAA Privacy Act rules came out. We can no longer even tell a family member who called in to check on their family member, whether it be a father, mother, son, or daughter. We couldn't tell them how they were doing, what they were doing. We couldn't tell them anything. That's it. Information now cut off. You don't get to know. We got to be private. These very nice ladies at the hospital also uttered something about Homeland Security rules. In a hospital? Being enforced as well? They informed me that the patients list their personal privacy as their number one concern in being treated. Really? Why have these patients become so afraid of others? Oh yeah, we propagate fear endlessly in the media, and now we have built hospitals on that fear-based agenda. Ouch. These two ladies from the hospital did give me some food for thought. They invited me to volunteer for a day in the pre-op so I could see more closely and understand what is taking place on a day-to-day basis there, from their perspective, of course. And if there were any ideas I could offer to create change. Now there is a thought. I am glad to say that they bent the rules of post-op, so both me and Steffi could be with my son as he regained consciousness from his operation. And it breaks my heart to hear the first words out of his mouth was, as he realized that me and Steffi were in the room, was, "Mom, I am really sorry you couldn't be here earlier." That should not be a recovering patient's first feeling. It should be of thanks for the love that surrounds them before and after surgery, before and after any event in life. That is no longer where we are as a nation, as a healing body. We, collectively, have become so afraid of our own shadow that we now fail to realize how important that shadow is. I woke up the day after my son's operation remembering a single quote that was on my consciousness. "Be the change you want to see in the world," by Gandhi. I started to think of how I can squeeze some volunteering into my already busy schedule. As I thought about the volunteering, spirit started to place a phrase from my chapter in my book into my consciousness called Understanding and Connecting with Your Spiritual Self in relationship with this hospital and most other hospitals as well. I will share with you the chapter and I'm just going to share with you the little parts that were downloaded in my consciousness. I don't know how to do it on a podcast because this is all written out. This is actually this entire podcast is the article that is being put in the magazine. Fear. We are all birth of the light. We are all stardust. We have just forgotten. and covered our light with the cloak of darkness. This cloak is layer upon layer of fear. Earth is cloaked in fear. Earth is a plane of the fear vibration. Now then, fear is not just fright or becoming scared of something in the night or darkness. Fear is like a dust particle made up of a vibration. A dust particle of fear is, for example, fear of getting wet in the rain, fear of the traffic light turning red before we get to it, fear of running late for work, fear of not being able to find our keys, fear of another whom we think might not like us. These are the particles that really do not seem the obvious fears. Yet, these are the particles that crystallize in layer upon layer that we cloak ourselves within, mistakenly holding on to the cloak for warmth, and lest we appear naked to others. And as our cloak builds denser and denser, we vibrate at the vibration of fear. This vibration is like a deep sound that we forget to know is there and grow used to as a companion. Now, there's much more to that chapter in the book, but I'm going to stop there because that was primarily what I kept hearing over and over again in relationship to the hospital system. So the thoughts of volunteering were provocative, but I was also reminded how dense the fear vibration of the present health industry is. Where fear lives, true and complete healing cannot take place. Fear is the polar opposite of love. All things flourish in love, and all things eventually disintegrate in fear. Ah, the beauty of the duality of life. I started to realize that the fears of the traditional healing facilities are so dense and solid that one woman's journey will not break apart decades of building. So then, what should I do, if I can do anything? The collective mind of spirit of God is incredible, really. When it becomes known that the wheel in the framework of humanity's wellness is broken, do you patch it or make a new one? Then the download started. Now these downloads, as I call them, is very much like software going into a computer. When I start to get these downloads, I cannot talk or think or do much of anything until all the new information has been fully loaded into my consciousness. In this download of information, I could see the potential that existed when many people came together for the same cause. Every one of us, in one way or another, is completely affected by health care, by the current state of the economy, and so on. The theme of this download was unity and coming together for a greater cause and the higher good of all. Create a new improved healing facility with others who can see the vision and who are willing to help. Gulp. Huh? I try to explain to spirit, and yeah, I still try to get spirit to be human and rationalize through my own humanness. And let me tell you, it never works. But I still keep trying. And I told spirit that we are at the point of printing our last magazine. After March, the money that was there to hold us over is gone. So payroll, rent, those silly little human things that will no longer exist. And spirit just smiled its energetic smile and said, write an article for the magazine. Back it up with a podcast. You never know who is going to read or listen. Okie dokie pokey. Here is a simplified version of what we can do together. Now keep in mind, I get these things in downloads. I can understand it completely in my mind, but when it comes to trying to put it all into words and a concrete plan, I get a little jumbled up sometimes. So here, just look at this as a broader vision of what we can do and how we can tweak things as we come together. What if we all pooled our money collectively to not only help ourselves, but equally to make it available for others in their time of need? If someone had a medical need, I now know we can get anywhere from 50 to 75% off the insurance rate as a self-pay. So that is a great thing. If someone lost their job and needs their mortgage paid so they are not homeless, we would have the money. If a single mom just can't come up with the grocery money, we can help. For many single people who have needs, but because they are single and fall between the cracks of life, we can be there. We can help in so many profound ways without depending on the government or others to help us. We can be the help we seek. If 1,000 people pledge $100, that would give us $100,000 of available money to help those in need. No one would collect a paycheck from these monies, so there is no overhead, no bonuses to be paid out, no anything except available resources for those in need. All money would be used for its purpose, to help those who need it. People could walk into medical facilities and be self-pay clients and get a tremendous discount, which I am really in favor of. This saves everyone a lot of heartache and stress. The money would be there to cover the expenses of whatever it is that was needed, and including for Antonia. I'm looking at my son. He is 26 years old. He is single. He has no children. He qualifies for nothing. Nothing at all. Not even Medicaid to help him through his moments when he cannot work because he's not pregnant, because he is single. And that is heartbreaking. Not only from a mother's perspective, but from a human perspective. He is not the only one who has fallen through a crack that I don't even know how to fill, except for this new improved vision. But anyway, back on to what if. What if we included awareness as part of these needs? Some would call this program preventative medicine, but I call it self-awareness. If you knew how you worked and how to work well, the chances of you getting ill would almost be non-existent. We could self-fund these programs to those who really need them. Think about this for a moment. How many people suffer from this little understood disease called fibromyalgia? Through my many Hands of Light sessions I have done over the years, I have come to understand that the muscle structure in the fibromyalgic people is simply being starved of the vital life force energy. There is a flow of energy through the body, and when you are blocked in many areas, the energy cannot flow. The muscles cannot thrive and pain exists. To say, hello, something's wrong. We need to breathe here. When you allow yourself to be permanently unblocked, now you must do the work within yourself via meditation, then your illnesses ceases to exist. No more medical visits. No more pills that are hiding the pain and negativity and negatively affecting other parts of your well-being. Through my path of self-understanding over the last 9 years and some amazing teachers in the spiritual realm, I have learned how to read people's DNA. I oftentimes know what disease or illness is in your future or your current path, and I know why it is there. If you could get a heads up before illness shows up and start to make the changes within your life to prevent it, wouldn't you want to be proactive instead of reactive? Everything starts energetically, never physically, never. When we are physically ill, it is simply the outward manifestation of dysfunctional energy enhanced by negative thoughts. Obviously, I can only do so much having one body to work out of, but I am so willing to teach anyone who wants to learn how to listen to the energetic body and really feel what the client needs to address, and then be brave enough to speak it out loud. Because sometimes it may seem like very personal information, and depending on your perspective, less than pleasant to say out loud. But once it's said, it's illuminated. There's now light around it. Now there's a potential to address it for the client. Now, what if we raised enough money to open a school of healing, not only for practitioners, but also for patients as well? What if we all teamed up to be the caretakers of each other? We could pool our resources together and maybe invite whatever healthcare practitioners we could find to make themselves available to those that need their services at a reduced cost. Perhaps those caretakers can teach or learn the energetic healing ways, depending where they are on their awareness path, of facilitating complete healing. What if we pooled enough money that we could open our own healthcare facility and make it fully family and love oriented, where love and compassion is the pill prescribed and not disconnection and sterility? Traditional medicine is very much needed. We are not looking to discount traditional medicine in any way. We could just be cutting back on our overdependence on it and explore and develop complete healing environments. What if we were brave enough to come together and be the change we desired? Do you not think for a moment that the universe would come rushing to our side to support, enhance that change? I am only one person. The board of directors are only 8 people. We need so much more than that to come fully alive in thought, vision, and reality. I am an astute listener for spirit. I speak the words most people cannot hear aloud from the heart of God. I also have an innate ability to connect to the soul agenda of any human on earth. But these are my strengths, and I apply them with all of my heart. There are so many other strengths needed, and the willingness to do something, to be involved in whatever way you can, so that the dreamer's dream can become created creation. We all are the co-creators. What we could use presently are some volunteers whose strengths are, in no particular order, financial planning, corporate structure, running a nonprofit business, fundraising, grant seekers, grant writers, gardeners, janitors, medical professions, researchers, monetary angels. I am sure there are skills needed that I didn't even think to mention, but if I don't know what they are, maybe you do, it's hard for me to list them. I am going to be putting together a brochure that is simply entitled The Vision, and it will be available for mailing or download to anyone who wants to be an active part of where we are going in whatever way you can be of assistance. We can really become the change that is needed in the healing field. No, in the living field, to make healing permanent instead of temporary. But with only 8 people and very limited, current moment here, resources, it can only remain a dream, a potential that can touch the world and truly bring in permanent and safe healing on all levels. If nothing else, let me be your example of potential, of hope, of what can and will be. I am supported by an endless source of love and compassion in the spiritual realm that brought me to here. And now I need that same love and compassion, the same level of service in the human realm. We are family. We are more powerful and resourceful than you can imagine. Together, we can be the change we dream of. In spirit's eyes, there is no such thing as a dream that is too big. If we can dream it, we can create it. If you want to be in service in any way, please contact Peggy or myself at 1-757-223-7224. That is the center's number. You can always email me at Lisa Gawless, LISAGAWLAS as in Sam, at gmail.com. If you would like to donate to the Random Acts of Charitable Kindness program, please go to spiritualhealing-godsway, godsway.org/rack.html. Or you can always mail a check to the Foundation for Conscious Living, 12616 Warwick Boulevard, Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia, 23606. One of the things we are really trying to manifest this year is the deed to the property where the center is located. The building is for sale, has been for sale, and in order to facilitate the many things we want to become, we have to own the building. I mean, there's no sense in expanding the structure if we don't already own it. And I know in my heart, it is already done. And again, please feel free to visit the website, spiritualhealinggodsway.org and the wonderofyou.org are the exact same place. Two different URLs, same exact space. The only difference is wonderofyou.org is a forwarded URL, so when you go to the various pages, you can't, there's no like rack program dot rack.html. It's always consistently wonderofyou.org. Spiritualhealinggodsway.org was put out in 2003. It's the website I created and have been creating ever since. So you have the availability to go to very specific pages just by the URL. I hope that makes sense. Sometimes I can understand it in here. Getting it out is not so easy. But this has been an incredibly long podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. I am so looking forward to the potential that we will create together. With so much love, honor, and absolute joy to all, Namaste.